Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Well, the pro-life campaign here in Ireland recently marked 34 years since the people of this country passed the Eighth Amendment to the Constitution. The amendment certainly gave clarity and direction to how the medical profession and lawmakers should approach the issue of care for the unborn. But do these pro-life laws we have, constitutional rights, have other broader impacts on society? This is a question for Cora Sherlock, who is the deputy chairperson of the pro-life campaign, who has some thoughts on the matter. Cora, you're very welcome to the show.
Good morning, Dominic.
Good morning. And first of all, do you think having pro-life laws does have some wider effects on society? And if so, how would you explain that?
I think they do, because I think to answer that, you really have to look at what a pro-life law says and what it does. Pro-life laws, wherever they take place, and in Ireland, obviously, it's the Eighth Amendment, but what they do is they highlight and they recognise the intrinsic value and dignity of the human being, of every human being in that society. I think that's a very positive message to go out into a society. And what you're looking for then, and what, you know, what generally takes place, is that that respect trickles down through society. And we can see that from just looking at the difference, say, between Ireland and between other countries where, unfortunately, they have given up on that recognition. Countries like the UK, where so many abortions take place, one in every five pregnancies ends in abortion. There is a real difference in terms of how human life is looked at and the value that's given to human life. So I think that would be the first most obvious thing, the most obvious effect from pro-life laws.
Yeah, I mean, what are the negative sides? I mean, so you've mentioned sort of in other nations close to us. I mean, the one that we're familiar with more and more is the fact that, as you say, one in five pregnancies ends in abortion in the UK. And of course, then it's much higher for those with disabilities and so on. But is what you're saying that this has an effect on people's attitudes towards youngsters and so on?
It does. I mean, I think the difference in attitudes really comes about when you think about, you know, maybe you have to look at different laws and how those other laws affect and trickle down into society. Say, for example, something in Ireland like the smoking ban. That has completely changed people's attitudes to smoking. You know, smoking is seen as something that you don't do now in workplaces, in social places like pubs and restaurants. That would have been unthinkable before the smoking ban came in. It's something similar to the pro-life laws. Pro-life laws change attitudes, and they do change the way we feel about the baby in the womb, because if you have a pro-life law in a country, then that baby is included with the same protection as everybody else gets. It's recognised as a member of society that must be considered by parents, must be considered by doctors. But if that protection is stripped away, then the baby counts for naught. And I suppose that's the other thing that really always strikes me when I'm thinking about this issue, is how the pro-life laws, if they're in place, guarantee that the medical profession has a certain way of looking at the baby. I think abortion corrupts the medical profession in a country, and it expects doctors, perhaps on a Monday, to acknowledge the fact that they're looking after two patients when they're looking after a pregnant woman. So this is a pregnant woman and her baby to be considered. But maybe the following week, when circumstances have changed, there's some difficulty that has arisen that makes that woman feel that, you know, abortion is now an option for her, then that doctor is supposed to completely disregard the life that he was protecting the previous week. Now, that's the corruption of the medical profession by anyone's measure, and that, I think, is a very important aspect that I don't think we're talking about in Ireland as much as we should be.
Mm. What about the idea, though, Cora, that we're trying to transform ourselves into a very inclusive, multicultural society, and that these values are coming from a particularly religious point of view, where we look at the life is sacrosanct and all this kind of thing? I mean, what about that argument that says, well, let people do what they will, and that we're perhaps encouraging the foisting of one set of values that isn't fair?
Well, I think, you know, it's an interesting one that's often put out there. What I think about that is the pro-life laws are very much based on science. They're not based on religion. They're based on biology. They're based on the fact that the baby in the womb is a human being, and is a human being from fertilization, because at that point he or she has 100% of the DNA that baby will ever have during its entire life as a human being, you know. So it's, religion doesn't come into it. And as somebody said to me recently, when a woman is pregnant, the baby in the womb has no real religion, has no decision over whether it's going to go to mass or, you know, going to go to a mosque or whatever. Religion doesn't enter into it. It's life that enters into it at that stage. It's humanity. And I think as far as being inclusive goes, the most inclusive law you can have is one that says we're going to protect every human being in our society. And that's really what the Eighth Amendment does at the moment. So I think all of these terms like progress, modernity, inclusiveness, all of those things point towards keeping the Eighth Amendment and keeping protection for every human being in society.
Yeah, I mean, do you think that that's a view that's going to be shared by the Oireachtas Committee? I think they're kicking off some discussions now, aren't they, as to what they're going to do in terms of proposing a referendum. What do you think about that?
Well, I think, you know, if you were to look at the Citizens' Assembly, which was the pre-runner for the Oireachtas Committee, it wouldn't inspire you with great hope, because the committee completely ignored the people in this country who say their children are alive because of the Eighth Amendment, who say that, you know, just like the things I've been talking about, how the attitude of the Eighth Amendment inspired a difference in how they dealt with a crisis pregnancy. It inspired them to think a bit closer about the fact that they were carrying a human being, essentially, and they gave life to that human being. So those families in Ireland, and there are tens of thousands of them, were not invited to give their testimony to the Citizens' Assembly. The pro-life campaign has asked the Oireachtas Committee to listen to those voices and to consider all of those lives that have been saved by the Eighth Amendment. And we're actually running an online virtual postcard on our website to encourage people to send that in to the members of the committee and to ask them to consider those people. Because you can't consider one part of the picture. You can't talk about you know, the negative aspects that are put forward by the pro-choice campaign in Ireland without looking at all of the lives that the Eighth Amendment have saved.
Okay. What about what Leif Rackard said to the New York Times just a few short days ago about feeling that you have to treat the child, he used the word child, or he said fetus if you prefer that term, as a person who has rights, who can hear, who can do things, but perhaps limit those rights as opposed to, you know, seeing the mother and the baby together with equal rights. What do you make of that?
Well, what I would say about that is that obviously Leo Varadkar trained as a doctor, so he's very aware of the humanity of the baby in the womb. So that's something that he can't deny, you know, and it's good that he hasn't denied it and that he's acknowledging the fact that the baby is a human being worthy of protection. Where I would differ with him is any suggestion that you can limit those rights in some way, or that you can give sort of a lesser right to the child in the womb. You can't do that, because either we're all human, in which case we all deserve the same rights, or we're not. And you can't have a little bit of abortion. That's very much the lesson from other countries around the world. To go back to England again, they tried to introduce so-called restrictive abortion in 1967, and now they have abortion right up to birth for any disability. You know, those sorts of things should really be acting as cautionary tales for Ireland, to see that you either protect everybody or you really protect nobody. Because if you bring an abortion to a country, this is going back to the attitude again, what you're really saying is that every human being's life is undermined. If we had abortion in this country, it wouldn't just be the lives of babies in the womb that are treated as second-class citizens. Your life and my life would be lessened as well, because we've changed the value we put on human beings' lives generally. And I think that would be something very sad to happen in Ireland, and I don't think we should allow it to happen.
I mean, there are people as well. I mean, I know one of the former directors of the Mater Hospital came out and said that he was both pro-life and pro-choice. I mean, is there some sort of middle way that you suspect is going to be pushed for by those in government now?
I have no doubt that we're going to hear a lot of the middle ground argument. As you say, you know, you can be pro-life and you can be pro-choice. But the thing to remember is this, the middle ground on the abortion debate is to be pro-life. That's actually the reality, is to want to keep the Eighth Amendment. Because the Eighth Amendment, it stands alone in terms of human rights protection throughout the world. It's the equality provision in our Constitution. And it's not, once you start deviating from that at all, you're going down the road of situations where every human life is up for grabs, essentially. Every baby in the womb doesn't have the same protection. And you're really creating a system where babies in the womb would become second-class citizens. I think it's very strange that when we're in 2017, we're talking about, thankfully, building a society that protects everybody, that acknowledges everybody. Suddenly, babies in the womb are not going to be considered for that equal protection that we all enjoy, and we're trying to remove that protection that they've had for over 30 years. That's a very strange thing, and it's very contradictory to the kinds of comments that you'll hear in other areas of debate.
Okay. Well, what do you think of Tim Jackson's pro-life hunger strike outside the door? This is a question from a listener. What do you think of that? He's been hunger striking now for a day or two, and he's written a letter to the committee asking for them to view an abortion before they make any decisions. What do you make of all that?
Yeah, I mean, I know Tim, and I think Tim is a very sincere, very genuine person, and obviously what he has decided is that this is the best way for him to draw attention to that aspect of the debate, which is the fact that very often when we're talking about abortion, we talk about everything except the abortion procedure itself. So this is his way of drawing attention to that before the Oireachtas Committee, and you know, that's his personal way of dealing with it and of highlighting it.
Okay, and another question for you from a listener: Are you planning to have a conference in October this year? That's just a general question.
We are. Yes, the Pro-Life Campaign has its annual conference, has an annual conference every year. The final date hasn't been released yet, so it will be released in the next week or so. So you can just keep an eye on our Facebook page and our Pro-Life or our website, which is prolifecampaign.ie. And we're on Facebook at Pro-Life Campaign Ireland, and details will be there.
All right. Well, Cora Sherlock. Okay, Cora Sherlock of the Pro-Life Campaign. Thanks for joining me this morning, for giving
thanks
us your perspective.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.